Amen. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verses 15, 19, and 21 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verses 15, 19, and 21 through 25. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Lord, help me bring a word for your people. Bring it in a way that it makes us better people and walk in your will. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject of the paradoxical Christian dilemma. The paradoxical Christian dilemma. A paradox is a statement that despite apparently sound reasoning from true premises leads to self-contradictory or illogical, unacceptable conclusion. A paradox involves contradictory yet interrelated elements that exist simultaneously and persist over time. A statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. I want to argue forthright that I'm rather upset with the Apostle Paul. Don't get me wrong, I think he wrote some good things and of great value. It was Paul who eloquently wrote, I press toward the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is a wonderful writer when dealing with salvation. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul even tells us how to dress for battle. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that come from the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He was an excellent writer who wrote clearly so that everyone would understand the theology of God and not just the life of God. Paul, the ex-Christian killer turned Christian crusader, was a great communicator. But in Romans 7, neither Paul nor do we benefit because he gives us an appraisal without an antidote. Paul shows us a problem, but he doesn't give us the prescription to heal us. I'm somewhat dismayed with Paul because he does what so many preachers do. Paul tells me what's wrong with me, but he doesn't tell me how to make it right. Oh, y'all don't hear me when I attend church. I don't want preachers to tell me what's wrong with me without telling me how I can change. In church, we encounter a sword through the word, but how we are cut depends on who's holding the sword. You see, Brother Isaac, a butcher will chop you up into pieces and leave you there, but a surgeon will cut you with a surgical incision, but he'll sew you back up again. Human beings, we've come to the place where we no longer want to just look at what's wrong, but we want to find out how to make it right. As we read through Romans 7, we hear a litany of Paul's complaints and gripes, not about the church of Ephesus, Corinth, or Galatia, but surprisingly about himself. It sounds almost dismal and seems impossible when we consider the personhood of Paul, who had been saved by God and had all these degrees and was so powerful and told us to work out our own salvation and told us to fight the good fight of faith. Paul was so powerful, people would bring people and lay them on the ground so his shadow would fall on them and they were healed. Paul was so anointed, they pray over handkerchiefs that he touched and taken to people and they will be healed of their infirmities. Paul could lay out a tent with nobody there in the morning and have 3,000 members in the evening. Paul was anointed, yet he sounds like he has no hope in doing what's right. Oh, see, the thing about it is, he took the whole chapter of this Bible, the whole chapter to tell him what was wrong with himself, without telling me how to correct myself, or for you to do the same. In Romans 7:15-18, Paul doesn't understand himself because he repeatedly does whatever he never intends to do. In the same scripture, Paul shares that it doesn't matter how saved you are because there's something you're always going to have to wrestle with inside of you. You're never going to get to the place of healing and recovery until you stop looking at what's wrong with other people and admit that there's some stuff broken in you. Come on, somebody. I'm so tired of these self-righteous prophets that always want to point the finger at everybody else but never grab a mirror. I'm not going to be like all the other preachers and say, look at your neighbor. I need you to pull out your mirror and look at your own self and say, you need to get it together. I need you to pull your cell phone out and just flip the camera around and look at yourself and say, I know I need to get. Lay yourself down on your own couch and say, what's wrong with you? You've been in the same mess for so long. Stop looking at everybody else. Stop judging your neighbor and get your stuff together. Walking around here like, yo, you know what? Don't stink like everybody else's. Oh, yeah, he doesn't tell me. Yeah. See, the first step to recovery is letting yourself know you got a problem. See, if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing they'll tell you is to go ahead and admit that you have a problem. The problem is we try to come to church and act like we got everything together. You say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Like ain't nothing wrong with you. Like you ain't got no bumps and bruises. Like you ain't had no curves. Like everything in your life has been a straight line and you just blessed. You ain't got nothing wrong with you. You need to come to church and understand that this is a hospital and you sick just like everybody else. And the good thing about it, that the doctor ain't really even got to get the right to a specific prescription for you. See, you go to the doctor, they try to figure out what's wrong with you. And if they diagnose it wrong and they give you the wrong medicine, you can even get sicker than you already were. But I'm so glad I don't have to go look in the book of Leviticus and go find a ram or a bullock or a turtle dove. I'm so glad no matter what my ailment is, all I gotta do is look to the old rugged cross and call on Jesus. All I need is to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Yeah, you got a problem with fornication? Put a little blood on it. You got problem with lying? Put a little blood on it. You got problem with gossip? Put a little blood on it. You a cheater? You an adulterer? Wash yourself in the blood of Jesus. Oh, trying to talk to somebody. Because Jesus can make all of your ailments right. He can make all of your mess the way it needs to be. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, see, Christianity is not about being or having, but about desire. There ought to be a desire in every Christian that doesn't reflect what the world desires. There ought to be something in us that says, I want more than fame, wealth, and popularity. When God asked Solomon what he desired, he didn't ask for wealth or success. He asked for godly wisdom. But because Solomon's heart was pure, God granted him the wisdom and still gave him natural riches and wealth. Can I tell you a secret right quick? If you seek God's face and not his hand, you can have everything in his hand. If you stop seeking miracles, I promise
promise you, if you keep walking with Jesus long enough, miracle will just fall at your feet. When you follow Jesus and look toward the heathen which cometh your help, he'll honor you for your faithfulness. Paul says, of his own admonition, when I would do good, evil steps in my way. You don't have to be delivered from something you don't want, something you've never experienced. See, can I talk to some real folk that ain't been Christian so long that you forgot that you sinned before? Come on, somebody. Can I talk to somebody? If sin wasn't good, you wouldn't need to be delivered. Yeah. You don't have to be delivered from nothing that you don't enjoy. You got to be delivered from some stuff you don't experience and some stuff that you enjoy doing. Come on, somebody. If sin wasn't as good as it is, we wouldn't need no prayer. The reason why you got to get on your knees and pray, because you got a problem, because you desire, because the Bible said you're drawn by your own lust.
Yeah. Anybody that tell you that walking holy ain't a struggle, they lying, and they ain't holy at all. Oh, come on, somebody. If you, Paul said, work out your own salvation. And you know, that's what's wrong with the church. Everybody trying to work out everybody else's salvation. Work out your own salvation. And you don't have enough time to talk about me. You don't have enough time to look over in my house and see what I'm doing wrong, because you got enough struggle in yourself. If you just get yourself together, you have a lifetime of work that you got to do, and you won't worry about what I'm doing. Now, I'm not saying don't witness, because the Bible says, witness to one another and tell them about Jesus. But what he said was throw seeds. See, when you throw seeds, you just keep moving. When you water it, you stay still. Yeah. When you water it, you know, you stay there a little longer. But God said, I'll do the watering. I just need you to spread the seed. See, some of us want to spread the seed and do the water. And what you want me to pray about and want everybody business. You better stop praying with folk that always try to ask you specifically what's wrong with you all the time. They ain't nothing but a gossiper. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Work out your own salvation. God, all you can say though is tell God, I need you to do it for me. You can't do it on your own. See, the problem is you keep thinking you can do it on your own. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He said, he who was able to keep you from falling and present you faultless, he's the one that keeps you from falling. Stop getting on God and there talking about, God, I can't do it. I keep on messing up. He know you can't do it. If you could have done it on your own, he never would have walked down 40 in two generations and went to that old rugged cross. If you could have done it on your own, Abraham could have saved you. Noah could have saved you. Jeremiah could have saved you. Ezekiel could have saved you. Job could have saved you. Samson could have saved you. David could have saved you. All the prophets and judges that he brought up to help bring you salvation, if you could have done it in your own flesh, he never would have done it for you. The 16th century theologian John Calvin admonished that in order to deal with and live through something that's killing you, you have to learn how to pray. And he says, if you pray while you're in pain, your pain becomes pleasure. Now, I didn't write this, Brother Spells. Calvin said it. While Paul struggled with the thorn in his flesh, three times he prayed to God to remove it. God didn't, probably to see if Paul would mature with the pain. Maybe you've asked God to remove some people or some things from your life, but they're still there giving you trouble. God may not want to take it away, because every time you feel the pain, you know it's his glory. Can I talk to some people? Every now and then, you need a few haters around you to keep you on your knees. You need a few people around you to talk about you, to make sure that you know you ain't all that in a bag of chips and the apple. You need some people to get on your nerves. You need some people to be around you that's always trying to destroy you, to make sure you keep on praying to God and looking toward the hills of which cometh your help. Crazy folk, haters keep you rooted to make sure you don't get the big head. Oh,
Every time you feel tempted, weak, and vulnerable, the sure way to get the devil out of your space is begin to worship. See, it's in moments of trial that God demands worship more than in moments of triumph. See, when you are triumphant, God demands praise, but when you're on a trial, you need worship. See, you praise God for what he's done and what you know he's about to do, but you worship God in spirit and in truth for who he is. See, you'll praise God when you get the healing, but you'll worship God even if you don't. You'll praise God when you get the job, but you'll worship him even when you don't. If you're a real worshiper, you'll worship God in the good time and in the bad time. You'll learn how to call those things that be not as though they were. Oh yeah, I'm not trying to say you're supposed to worship your husband or your wife, but I am saying this, and I'm not definitely not trying to compare them to God, but if there's not some type of form of a little bit of worship in them, you would have left a long time ago. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Every time he left that seat up, if you didn't worship him just a little bit. Yeah. Every time she came home with that new outfit and went in your checkbook. See, you praise them when they didn't go by the outfit when you didn't want them to. And you praise them when they put the toilet seat down and take out the garbage. But you worship your wife even when she mess up. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God says, even when I don't give you what you want me to give you, I still need you to have a sacrifice of praise for me. Same way, people get on your nerves when they only call you when they want something. You know that friend that only call you when they want something. Yeah, they try to fake you out and call you on Tuesday, but you know they're going to call you by Friday to ask for what they really want. You know they ain't calling to tell you, hey, how you doing? What you want, Negro, is what you really want to say. But because you're going to church regularly now, you hold your text peace. Or you text Sister Girl and say, this girl, keep on calling me, child. Child, Jesus, help me. Paul kept trying to do good, but he ended up doing bad. The only thing that could get him to his desire was if he gave his mind to God. See, your body is a slave to desire, but if you give your mind to God, you'll have the perfect balance. See, you got to put on the new mind, which is what? In Christ Jesus. And when you begin to put on the thoughts of God and his ways become your ways and his thoughts become your thoughts, when you align yourself up with Jesus and cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, he begin to bring in captivity all them crazy thoughts and urges that you have. You can't do it by yourself. You got to submit to Jesus, because when you submit to him, you can do all things through him, because he gave you the strength to do it. He began the good work and he'll finish it, but the problem is you don't give enough time to do it. Stop trying to do it on your own. Oh, you only can deal with the desires that conflict with your integrity if you surrender your mind to God. Accepting Jesus is how you solve the paradoxical Christian dilemma. When you try to do right in your own power, in other words, when you try to be self-righteous, you will always fall, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is always weak. And you will never succeed on your own, because your flesh will short-circuit your anointing, just like a circuit breaker. See, if too much power begins to go through these lights, the circuit breaker will click and the fuse will blow, and it'll shut the power off, because it cannot harness the power that's going through the electrical wires of the building. But just like the anointing of you, sometimes your spirit is trying to give you an anointing, but your sinful nature continues to short circuit the anointing. Every time God tried to give you a word, every time God tried to give you a healing, you walk right back in the same mess you used to do. But I'm going to tell you, baby, until you submit to God, you will never be able to overcome your stronghold. I know you want to be anointed, but your flesh get in the way. It's tripping the wire, and the anointing continues to get short-circuited because your flesh is in the way. Your flesh gonna always try to short-circuit. Sometimes you will go run to sin just because you scared of the power God gave you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Some folk go crazy in church when you walk by faith, because they ain't used to it. They want to know first Sunday it is, second Sunday it is, third Sunday we got this. For oh Lord Jesus, they done changed it up. Lord, they don't want the Holy Ghost. They want the program to be the same way it was back in 1955. They want the same usher boy. Even though they dead, they want to go dig the coffin up and bring him back up here. Because the way we used to do it, that's the flesh in the way, causing the church not to walk in the power it needs to, because you always want it your way. This ain't Burger King. Weak. He'll give you strength because he know you can't handle it. See, but you know, Paul, Sister Ross, he redeemed himself. I kept on reading, Sister Alpha, and I found the addendum to Romans chapter 7. I kept on reading, and then I saw in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9, Paul tells me the answer to Romans 7. Yes. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing great revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, as a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The issues that Paul was wrestling with were in his own flesh. Our greatest fight is over the things we can feel. Paul has something for your dichotomous dilemma. If you just keep reading on, he gives us a paradoxical praise. Didn't I tell you paradoxical doesn't make any sense? A paradox don't make any sense. So I'm trying to tell you, his praise right here makes no sense to me. To the untrained but sophisticated unchristian mind, this sounds like foolishness. But somewhere I read that God uses the foolishness of the world to shame the wise. So I kept on reading. But God said, Paul goes on to say, since his grace is sufficient, instead of bragging about how many members I brought in, instead of bragging about how many churches I planted, instead of thanking God for the gift he gave me, instead of telling everybody how many people I've healed, because of his grace, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because of his grace, I will give him paradoxical praise, a praise that don't make no sense. I won't thank him for my big house. I won't thank him for my good wife. I won't thank him for my good husband. I won't brag on my good kids. But instead, to keep me humble, I therefore take pleasures in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecutions, in my distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Can I talk to some people that ain't so holy, that understand you messed up just like me, that understand you fall just like me? Don't brag about your good days, don't brag about your blessed days, but thank God for the days you fell and he still picked you back up. The days you fell in sin and he still called you a pastor. The day you messed up and he still blessed you. The day you went and did what you were supposed to do, but he still let you keep your healing. Yay! Because when I'm weak, my God calls me strong. I'm messed up, but my God loves me anyhow. Paul gave you the answer. Even no matter how great you are, you're going to be messed up somewhere. No matter how gifted you are, you're going to be messed up somewhere. Paul said, to keep me from getting the big head. When I planted them churches, to keep me from getting the big head. When I raised the dead, to keep me from getting the big head. When the demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, to keep me from getting the big head. God kept a thorn in me
keep me on my knees. I'm going to tell you right now, that infirmity in you, that messed up behavior in you, that glitch in your walk, that messed up crawl in your faith, Jesus left it there to make sure that you don't get the big head. He made sure that if you want to be right, you wouldn't stand up all proud, but you get down on your knees and look to the hills from which cometh your help and say, Lord, I can't do it without you, but I know that you can do all. I can do all, not some things, not most things, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, let me tell you a secret, Brother Smoot. See, his name is above anything you can name. Not just your name, not just your wife's name, not just her name, not just his name, not just my name, but his name is above any other name. Mufasa ain't got nothing on Jesus. Say Mufasa and the lions tremble, but even say Jesus, every head shall bow, every demon shall submit. Go to your job. Stop trying to use my name to get it. Stop trying to use Bell's name to get it. Stop trying to use Ozzy's name. If you just walk in the power of Jesus, he will make it right. His name is above cancer. Is it a name? Say Jesus. His name is above infirmity. Isn't that a name? Well, say Jesus. His name is above sickness. Well, say Jesus. His name is above disease. Say Jesus. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you don't know, El Shaddai is the God above all gods. All you gotta know is Jesus. If you don't know, Jehovah Rapha is your healer. All you gotta know is Jesus. If you don't know, Jehovah Tekiznua is my sanctifier. Just say Jesus. If you don't know, Jehovah Nisi is my victory. Just wave your hands and say Jesus. Jehovah Shalom is my peace. But I don't know Hebrew. I don't know Greek. I don't know Swahili. I don't know Aramaic. Well, sister girl, it don't matter. If you know Jesus and you're covered by his precious blood. Old school said like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, Deacon Ross, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount I know. Not you. Not you. Not me. But Jesus is my deliverer.
Whew. I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling, but you know why you're struggling? Because you got enough sense to take a bath every night and every morning. Every now and then you might skip, but for the most part, you taking a bath, hopefully. Hopefully your neighbor took a bath. But the thing about it is, we don't take spiritual baths. Ephesians said, wash your spirit with the word of God. I smell some stinking spirits in the house because you ain't in your word. I smell lack of faith because you ain't in your word. I smell defeat because you're not in your word. See,
each one of us was given a measure of faith, which means each one of us was given the same measure. The problem is some of our faith has not grown because we have not read the word and magnified the spirit. See, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. So unless you read the word, your spirit won't be magnified in you. You can't overcome the world by yourself. I saw an Instagram post. This gentleman was mad because he saw these instructions and this little gadget had 55 parts he had to put together, and he had the manual and the pictures and laid everything out the way the instructions said. But ain't it amazing how we read the instructions to put a bike or a TV set together, but we don't read the instruction manual that'll put our life together? Huh? You would get an instruction manual to put a cabinet together that you can look at the pictures and match the parts up. But to make sure you get it right, you read the instructions. Your life is messed up because you won't read the manual. The instructions are right there. Paul, for a moment, even though he's so spiritual and powerful, the greatest apostle to ever live, highly educated, yet highly gifted, handle business, could be friendly, but cut you if he needed to. Gifted, multifaceted. Demons called his name. They said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They called him by name. The demons were scared of Paul. Yet in Romans 7, he struggles. Every time I try to do right, I keep doing wrong. Every time I try to do what I'm supposed to do, things rise up in me that make me do what I don't want to do. I know what's going on with you too. We all the same. We all flesh. Your flesh short circuits your faith walk. But you got to understand that we all have thorns in our flesh. But it's not there to destroy you. It's there to keep you rooted and on your knees. You can overcome the temptation, but you need to pray more and put the word on it and submit your flesh and your mind to God. You can't do it on your own. You got to look to the hills from which cometh your help. And then look at God, and God says he's the one who's able to keep you from falling. He's the one that will present you faultless before his glorious majesty. He'll do it, not you. He'll present you to himself. And he would do it what? Exceeding joy. To the only wise God. Confucius can't do it. There's only one wise God. Muhammad can't do it. It's only one wise God. Buddha can't do it. It's only one wise God. No. All these other religions, they can't do it. Epicureanism, they can't do it. No. That stuff can't do it. Islam, it can't do it. No. It's only one God. He's your Savior. He presents you before himself. He loved you so much that he stepped out of infinite time and space, left circle of time, and walked in the linear chronological order of our being to make sure he showed us how to live. He knew you couldn't do it. He knew you couldn't pass the test. So he said, look, I'm going to come down here and walk down 40 in two generations and robe myself in the flesh. Come out, Emmanuel. God is with you. Go to the cross, die, and be raised up so I can fulfill the law for you. So when you sin, all you got to do is cheat off my paper and call on my name, because I already took the test for you. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. Now, I do believe in grace, because grace supersedes the law. But I do know God still keeps standards. You can't come in here trying to live any way you want to. He wants, because Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Surely not. Well, there's no repentance. There's no sacrifice. But yes, grace supersedes the law. But God still wants you to try to live to a standard. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He didn't come to do away with it. Cheap grace ain't what he's looking for. If cheap grace was good, Paul wouldn't have had that dichotomous dilemma in his mind. It wouldn't be a paradox to him. Whatever he did would be okay if grace was do whatever you want to do. No, grace and mercy follow you. And when the law tries to hang you, and justice tried to hang you, mercy and grace cut the rope. But he still wants you to try to live to a standard. That's why Paul said, struggle and work out your salvation. Don't take grace. Have you ever gave somebody a job and you put your name on them, and because they knew you, they tried to do whatever they wanted to do, and you was mad because they was messing your name up? And you know the only reason they got the job was because you either gave it to them or you put your name on it. Jesus took the test for you. He gave you grace. You're going to pass, but don't take advantage of it, is what Paul is saying. Amen? Amen. Try to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. You're going to fall. Ain't it funny how James break it down? James said, you better try to be perfect, but you ain't going to make it. But you need to try. The dilemma, ain't it? The dilemma can be solved, though, because you can walk in perfect peace if you submit to Jesus and let him be your guide. See, a lot of us have submitted to Jesus and called him Christ, our Savior. But the problem is some of us have not made him Lord. Make him Lord over your life. And let him order your steps in his word.